The government has been dismissed.
This is a fledgling democracy.
You voted for change, and now change has come.
Cast your mind back to last January, where the year got off to a controversial start, with Zimbabwean leader Robert Mugabe appointed as the chairman of the African Union. The European Union had to rescind a travel ban against the then 90-year-old leader so he could fulfil his new, albeit rather symbolic, role of representing the continent. In his acceptance speech, he warned of the dangers of selling off Africa's vast natural resources to foreign states.
We seem not to have paid sufficient attention. If the present practice of exporting our minerals in their semi or raw form continues, Africa will continue to have people without employment who languish in extreme poverty.
This year, Chinese-funded infrastructure and energy projects continued to sweep across the continent. Investors were clamouring for pieces of the pie as a number of African countries experienced some of the highest economic growth rates in the world. With China recently announcing nearly €55 billion worth of loans to the continent, Sino-African relations seem set to stay close in 2016. After the death last year of President Michael Sata, Zambians battled through the torrential downpours to deliver Edgar Lunga a narrow 1.5% lead. But it was the election in Africa's most populous nation that stole the headlines. Muhammadu Buhari defeated Goodluck Jonathan to become the first ever opposition candidate to win a presidential election in Nigeria.
You voted with your heart. You voted for change. And now change has come.
He vowed to tackle corruption, which some estimates say costs Nigeria around €7.5 billion every year. But after allegations later in the year that the country's own corruption agency had itself lost over €4.5 billion, Buhari sacked his anti-corruption chief. Nearly 6 months after he came to office, the former army general swore in his cabinet, wanting to first be sure that his new ministers would not use their posts for personal gain. But it was his pledge to bring the Islamist insurgency of Boko Haram under control that helped win the presidential race. Just weeks later, the head of the United Nations Office for West Africa, Mohamed Ibn Shambas, updated the Security Council on the developing situation.
Though weakened, the group continues to commit horrendous acts against civilians, including women and children. Schools in northeast Nigeria are no longer safe places of learning.
Often targeting markets and busy streets, they became the world's deadliest terror group and declared allegiance this year to the so-called Islamic State group in Syria and Iraq. Boko Haram have carried out countless attacks. Their insurgency has left more than 17,000 people dead, over 150 of whom were killed in an attack on Bagger and Borno State in the very first week of the year alone. The group increasingly used coordinated suicide attacks to target sites in their northern strongholds and across the country. But these attacks weren't confined to Nigeria. Chad, Cameroon and Niger all felt the deadly effects of the Islamist militants. The countries established a cross-border regional force, which has seen armies retake territory and free hundreds of hostages.
We were forced to take this route to Europe. It should be called the route of death. It's become the graveyard of the Mediterranean.
North African countries found themselves at the sharp end of the migrant crisis this year. The fall of Colonel Gaddafi in 2011 created a power vacuum in Libya. As the rival governments of Tripoli and Tobruk competed for control, criminal gangs, jihadists and people smugglers moved in. The country's Mediterranean coast became a key front line in the bid to reach Europe, with people drawn in from all over Africa and the Middle East by promises of a better life. The scale has been hard to comprehend and even harder to accurately measure. The UN estimate that over 400,000 have crossed the sea, with at least 4,000 people dying en route. But migrant deaths haven't been confined to North Africa this year, as a wave of violence against immigrants in South Africa shocked the world. Xenophobic gangs targeted African migrants, often in broad daylight, with dozens of unprovoked killings and reports of mutilated bodies, as footage emerged of police officers merely looking on as the brutal scenes unfolded before them. After a delay that was widely criticised, President Jacob Zuma spoke out against the violence in Parliament.
No amount of frustration or anger can ever justify the attacks on foreign nationals. The attacks violate all the values that South Africa embodies.
The treatment of immigrants was also a topic of international concern in East Africa, as Kenya clamped down on illegal Somali migrants and tried to repatriate refugees. The tensions rose with attacks by Somalia-based Islamist group Al-Shabaab. Their storming of Garissa University in April, in which 150 people were killed, saw a redoubling of efforts to oust the Al-Qaeda-linked group. Following the massacre, President Uhuru Kenyatta addressed the nation.
This is a moment for everyone throughout the country to be vigilant as we confront and defeat our enemies.
Al-Shabaab struck again in Mogadishu as US President Barack Obama touched down in neighbouring Ethiopia as part of a historic trip which also saw him return to his ancestral home of Kenya. I'm coming home,
home where I belong. Wa Kenya, mpio.
Becoming the first American president to come to the country, he spoke of his ties to the great nation and warned of the destruction of dwelling on ethnic divides.
The president's father was the first president. We're only a generation removed. And the daily limitations and sometimes humiliations of colonialism, that's recent history. The corruption and cronyism and tribalism that sometimes confront young nations, that's recent history. But what these stories also tell us is an arc of progress. From foreign rule to independence, from isolation to education and engagement with a wider world, it speaks of incredible progress.
The landmark trip focused a great deal on country's human rights records, but Ethiopian Prime Minister Hailemariam Desalegn, whose party won 100% of parliamentary seats, defended the state's stance in a joint press conference with the US president.
We want to work on this issue. It's our concern. But something has to be understood, that this is a fledgling democracy, and we are coming out of centuries of undemocratic practices and culture in this country.
This year saw some high-profile sentencings. Senegalese presidential candidate Karim Wade was handed 6 years in prison for corruption. The son of a former president, he was also fined over €200 million for illegal enrichment during his father's rule. An Ivory Coast former First Lady, Simone Gbagbo, was sentenced to 20 years in prison for her role in violence following the 2010 elections. But election violence raged once again across parts of the continent. In Burundi, the president's decision to stand for a third term sparked mass civil unrest and widespread violence in a state crackdown following a coup attempt. The country's constitution limits leaders to 2 terms in office, but as it was the parliament, not the people, that first elected Pierre Nkurunziza to presidential office, he said his bid to run for a third term was legal. The coup was announced on the radio by Major General Godefroy Niambare.
As Burundians, we strongly reject President Pierre Nkurunziza's bid for the third term, which goes against the constitution. The president has been deposed and the government has been dismissed.
President Nkurunziza has now been sworn in for that third term, but over 400 people have been killed in the violence this year, and nearly a quarter of a million Burundians have fled to neighbouring countries. The UN's Human Rights Commissioner says the country is on the very cusp of a civil war. A coup attempt was also made in Burkina Faso, overthrowing an interim government who took power after the country's long-term leader, Blaise Compaoré, was ousted in a popular uprising in 2014. Elections have now taken place, with Rochemark Christian Kambore winning the popular presidential vote. But despite the violence and tragic terrorist attacks seen in Mali, Somalia, Kenya, Nigeria and elsewhere, Africa has much to celebrate from 2015. The surprise win of the Nobel Peace Prize by the Tunisian Quartet for their expert steering of the country away from the instability that threatened the nation following the Jasmine Revolution, which even in the face of devastating terrorist attacks, hasn't faltered. Sierra Leone and Liberia were declared Ebola-free, and in a remarkable feat, many of the continent's countries surpassed the Millennium Development Goal of bringing child deaths down by more than two-thirds since 1990. So whilst economies boom and ongoing conflicts continue to play out, we'll soon be discovering what 2016 has in store for these 54 states.